Y'all, we live in difficult times. There's war, political unrest, the pandemic, poverty, families being torn, communities ripped by gun violence and people dying every day, police, injustice, it's all bringing so much pain. But y'all, we can look inside our minds and we can understand who we are, become better, and do this thing like we've never done it before. But it all starts with our mental health, and I know we can do it. I believe in you because I believe in me, and I believe in us.
Yeah, and that one doctor that I was telling you, well, that was the guru. He was looking at, what do you want me to do? Is what he said, well, you know, there's nothing that anybody can do. And I think that that was the awakening, that this was going to be your lifestyle, and you need to go and find the avenues that will help him thrive and have, you know, a good way of life. Good. So, you know, my husband and I had to do whatever we could to make sure that he had, you know, everything that he needed. And I know what it was, because you would see and hear about people doing these fantastic things, you know, on the one end. And I want to throw a little something about something that's called neural divergence. Mm-hmm. In other words, just the way people's brains work, of course, is not the same. And it's not that there's anything wrong. It's more so that it's different.
Right.
So the same thing with our son is just that, you know, he processes things differently. And he has to utilize his different abilities in a different way. For example, as I mentioned, writing, his ability to write and write his name and write what he needs and write where he wants to go, even though he can't articulate it verbally, he can write down what he wants. Mm-hmm. So
he learned that largely because you guys started early cultivating in him with the pictures and learning his letters and all those things, and that helped him learn how to communicate with you guys. And
that is key, because without the communication, and we went to early intervention centers, and we did early interventions with him in various spots in our community. There was an early intervention center in our community where we lived at the time of all of this, and then one where we are right now. And so he continued with that. And then that is like a springboard to like preschool and school environment. And it really reiterates what you were talking about, is starting early, because that gives the child an opportunity to be amongst other children. And now with children with that same disorder or with, you know, other things that they're contending with, they can be in early intervention and be a part of, you know, a school environment and learn. It's preschool, like it's pre-preschool and then preschool, and learn what it's like to be with other children. So
tell me something about being a parent. I know I was talking a little earlier about the, you know, just accepting and getting your kids the help you need from specialists, and, you know, that's one part of it. But what about the part of reaching out to family members and friends for support?
You know, we were blessed. We are blessed. When I was trying to think, when he was in the hospital, people came, they were so supportive. Houses of Faith, church members, family and friends, they just surrounded us. I just have to say that, you know, our family, we are blessed, because we had that support, and because you need it, the more support. Because of the different things that Michael went through, we just really needed it. And I think it's just as a family, just talking it out and having that togetherness, you know, as a family unit, being able to discuss and openly. And even the girls were small at the time. Michael is the baby, and the girls are varying ages, and his brothers would see from time to time. And it was just like, okay, well, we need to communicate so that we could understand, well, this is what's going on with, you know, with your brother. This is why. And, you know, this is the way it's going to be. Because this is what his issue is.
You know, that's amazing, and that's so fortunate, your experience. You know, I feel like since I've been a therapist, I've come across a number of families who've had children with autism who seem to have, you know, struggle through the grief process of, you know, this is, you know, of the child I hope to have, the child I now have, and then mm-hmm. bargaining with themselves if I would have done this or this would have happened, mm-hmm. that, and really feeling a sense of shame about, you know, getting help. They may reach out to support systems, professional support systems, but when it comes to family and friends, they're worried because maybe they're worried about their children's behavior and how people will respond to it.
Yeah.
And so that creates this insecurity. And so they try to do everything themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was blessed. I guess from my early age on, I just had the fight in me. It was mm-hmm. the fighter in me, the kind of passive aggressive, like you might say no to me and like, I'm like, okay, kind of thing, you know? Yeah. But I would just go after whatever I saw there was a need. Mm-hmm. And the same, when the first doctor that I was telling you about who spewed the alphabet soup, I didn't know whether or not to scream or cry or, I think I did in the back of my mind. I was just saying, no, this can't be. We're going to do something about this. No, I always felt like I was the one, oh, I can rectify. This can be rectified. This can be rectified. And then we had the other doctor that said, there's nothing I can do for you. This is what you have, you know. And I think that was the slap in the face that I needed, so to speak, to say, no, you're going to, this is something you're going to be contending with. This is what you're going to be living with.
Yeah. And I love your drive and your determination. It feels like that whole grieving and that difference between the child you were expecting to have and the child you had, that wasn't something that you seemed like you had a struggle with for that long. Because it feels like some people struggle with that for a long time. And why I keep emphasizing that it slows down them actually addressing the issue, because on some level they're still hoping that they're going to wake up one day and their kid is going to be more on what they might consider to be normal, mm-hmm. versus realizing, no, your kid has a different normal.
Right.
A different normal. And mm-hmm. they're unique. They are truly unique. We mm-hmm. think we're unique, but oftentimes we're not. But autistic kid is truly unique. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And seeing that, appreciating that, and working in that space. I know somebody saying, "You look, if I got a couple of autistic children, you know how hard that is." Because I met families that have not just one, multiple children that might be on the spectrum and trying to work and trying to take care of family and do all the things they have to do and feel like they're stuck, but they might not be that motivated to really get the support systems in place they need to really address their children's issues. Mm-hmm. And some will, I found that. But getting past that mm-hmm. that barrier, what do you, I mean, I'm serious, Dr. Hummer, what do you think really helped you just get past that? Like
prayer.
You
know, God just helps us a tremendous amount. And my husband and I, our relationship with Jesus is just really was gelled us together, because you would hear about people splitting up and leaving the family and everything like that. And I don't know how anybody would do this without God. I really don't. But that's the main thing. That's the glue that really keeps us together. And then I think it's like determination and drive to just really, okay, this acceptance. So I know, because I've been through that too, no, there's something that, no, you can't be right. No, the denial part. I've been through that. And then I think it was coming to that acceptance and helping our loved one grow into who he is. And me, it's just that, you know, God gave me that determination. And that's what it was. Because I don't know, man. I think, honest and truthful, I think I would have fallen apart without that. Mm. I could have. I've heard story after story after story of couples like divorcing and people just falling apart, because depending, in everybody's case is different, mm-hmm. and that's why they call it a spectrum. Everybody is different. It's not the same anywhere. Right. And you know, if you in one inkling just go left of center, you know, and then you have this individual who is highly dependent on you, mm-hmm. so you got to keep yourselves, you know, unified. You have to keep, and then I I cannot even begin to imagine doing this by myself. Mm. I can't even begin to imagine. And I hats off to people who do, and I know people who do.
But in reality, when we started talking about what it takes, obviously, the sooner we come to some acceptance of, you know, our child has this unique gift, talents, abilities, limitations, yeah. and that they need certain supports in order for them to be the best version of themselves, that helps us move forward with getting help and also being open to allowing others to help us, but also being open to educating people about what's going on with our child so they can be more aware, because people can't understand what they don't.
Yeah, Joe, that includes the medical world, your medical professionals. I had a medical professional. He has a neurologist, and I think it was his neurologist that I loved so much. His pediatric neurologist was just an amazing man. He retired, and I wish I could have kept in touch with him. Mm-hmm. This man is amazing. He is amazing. Just his whole persona, and I thought, maybe we could have medical people being more aware, because he has a professional now, doesn't quite understand. And they've told me this, the neurologist that I was telling you, his pediatric neurologist I was telling you about, he has said to me, you know, many of my colleagues don't even know how to treat these patients. And this is in this day and age, it's like, oh, wow. There needs to be some kind of, coming together of these professionals where they come and they learn how to, you might have in the back of your mind, I'm not going to encounter those individuals. I'm not planning on encountering those individuals in my practice. But you and I both know that, okay, so the prevalence is so high, you're not going to not encounter them, you know?
Right.
So there needs to be a push in terms of making as many people aware, you know, in the professional realm of serving individuals on the spectrum and irrespective of the level one to level three. So because you have to be able to sit back and be able to have the patience to understand and the care for individuals.
Gotcha. Makes so much sense. What is some tools and resources that you might recommend to families and individuals who are, you know, dealing with autism spectrum disorder on a day-to-day basis?
I'll tell you what. Integrations Treatment Center. I have to look and explore it what they're doing and if they're still into it. But Achievement Centers, Integrations Treatment Centers, Rosemary is specific to their own population these days. But they used to be not Rosemary Center, which is where Michael was. And of course, I'm just naming those, but those were places where I was able to receive assistance and suggestions and a plethora of ideas and resources, you know, to help him. Also, highly recommended the County Board of Developmental Disabilities all over the country. There are county boards of developmental disabilities, mm-hmm. and anybody who needs help should seek out the county board first, because they have professional social workers that are apprised of how to help individuals with developmental disabilities and of any sort. And I'm hoping that I can pull together and get the support group that I had going up again in the Euclid area. So we're going to be doing that so that we can make people more aware of what resources are out there. But the highly recommended resources are Achievement Centers for Children, mm-hmm. Various types of therapies, Integrations Treatment Centers, Barry Galvin and Associates. I think it's the Galvin Centers now, but GALVIN. That was beyond tremendous for Michael's in the beginning, because when he was too young for the EIC, Early Intervention mm-hmm. Centers at the time, we were able to go to therapy with the Barry Galvin or Galvin Centers, and they did tremendous things with him. So those are just some of the resources that I was able to avail ourselves of. And there are countless, countless others.
Yeah, you know, I do believe that the NAMI,
yes.
National Organization on Mental Health, they have support groups and education on autism. In fact, just recently, I think they did some educationals on autism. And then the Greater Cleveland, I think there's a organization.
Yeah, Autism Society Greater Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Autism Society Greater Cleveland.
Yes.
I was involved with that too.
You was involved with that too?
They used to have I don't know if they still have that walk run every year. I'd like to get back involved with them.
Yeah.
But I would highly recommend. That was a good start. It's a great, they've inspired me to start a support group. I think they still meet in Independence. Well, there are various groups. There's one in Beechwood that I know of, and the one in Independence that I used to go to, I think they still meet. And of course, there are, you know, various ones around the city. So it's Autism Society. And this one was Autism Society Greater Cleveland. I guess there's Autism Society Beechwood. But if you Google Autism Society, they would come up with the resources and the context.
Yeah. So you know, with that, that's really good. I think that a lot of times people don't really understand, when you say support group, why those things are so important.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you why. What was inspired me? Just, you cannot. Well, some people think they can, but I couldn't walk this alone. I met a person, someone, a woman. We became good friends in CVS Pharmacy, and she was having a time with her loved one, and her loved one was. And I said, "Hey, why don't you? Hey, I will watch your loved one." I was able to leave mine home with my husband at the time, and I said, "Hey, why don't you let me engage your loved one so that you can go get her prescription, and I'll engage her. You get the prescription, and when you get back, and we can." And we became friends and exchanged information, and you know, and we're still in contact to this very day. Mm. So, you know, I guess depending, I think it comes, you know, it just comes about acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and acceptance doesn't mean, you know, you're just bowing down. You're just picking up that baton, if you will.
You know,
grabbing that baton and running with it.
Right. You know, and I think one of the things that you're saying. I think one of the things about support group, I'm a therapist, and I've never had a child with autism. And though I'm trained to be empathetic, and I've gotten training on the particular diagnoses, and I could give some insight and support, and I can work with kids primarily who are or adults who are high-functioning with autism, I don't have the day-to-day insight and experience as a person like you or another parent who's walked in that space. And I think sometimes we can find answers that we can't, we can find answers in other people who walk in the same space we walk in,
mm-hmm.
when we put ourselves in position to be exposed to that type of information. Mm-hmm. So when I'm sitting in a support group with other people who have that type of experience,
right.
I have an opportunity to hear things that, geez, I never thought about it like that before. I never considered the idea before. And that's, yeah. I think, you know, and just knowing that there are people out there that can relate and that can understand where you're coming from and could probably speak to your exact concern on some
right.
level.
Right.
That is I think that's a powerful resource.
Yes,
to
yes
help,
it is.
Help move things forward, mm-hmm. you know, because I've had a lot of parents, they would vent to me about what's going on, and we might suggest these things, but having other parents, other people that walk directly, almost in your exact shoes.
Yeah, that makes a big, big
difference. It makes a big difference.
Yes. So when you can relate to somebody or hear the things that they've been going through and it mirrors what you've been encountering, it just makes a difference to know that someone else has been through this as well. So.
Yeah, they've been through that, and it can be so helpful to you. Don't go nowhere. Stay tuned for the next episode of Therapy is Life, where thinking, feeling, and experiencing well-being will be continued with our discussion on autism spectrum disorder.